crouton.
It's word salad with Amelia Discreet, only on 95BFM.
Kia ora, Amelia.
Hello.
How are you?
Nice to be back.
Nice to have you back. Nice to have you back. What are we talking about on word salad today?
So today we're kind of talking about homophones.
Homophones?
Homophones.
Homophones. You know? What is a homophone?
Yeah. Well, homo means the same and phone means sound.
Okay.
So a word that sounds the same as another word.
Ah, okay.
That in and of itself is not, there's not a lot to talk about there, you know.
Kind of obvious.
Like whip. I say bear and bear the same, even though people argue with me about it. it's a whole thing. But we're going to talk about a couple of, if we have time, a couple of different weird varieties of this. Mm.
Sounds good. What's the first weird variety of homophone that we've got?
So the first one is homophonic translation.
Ooh.
So this is where you take something in a different language and you, in your language, I would guess in your language, we're talking about two different languages. So like, say you've got something in Latin.
Yep.
You get some words in English that sound like those words. So you preserve the sound of the phrase without preserving the meaning.
Okay, like, so it doesn't necessarily mean what the Latin meant.
No. So, as an example, would you like to hear French Humpty Dumpty?
I would love to hear French Humpty Dumpty.
Un petit don petit, c'est un oral. Un petit don petit a de gratis folon. So the actual translation of that in French is, a little one of a little one is surprised at the market.
Oh, so that means really nothing like Humpty Dumpty, but sounds very similar to it. How come that happens?
People just like to do it as a fun joke. And the I don't talk about jokes.
No, we don't. We're very serious. Jokes. At BFM.
But it does lead us into this very weird thing that I've found called anguish languish.
Anguish languish. Sounds like a very
anguish
good
language.
Name for a band.
Well, I think it's available. So the anguish languish is this thing invented by this old mate Howard Chase.
Old mate who?
Howard Chase.
Ah.
He's like, basically studied English in America, and he did a version of homophonic translation where both of the things are English.
Wait, what? That's broken my brain a bit. How does that work?
So basically, he had this idea that the important thing is not what the actual word, it's not the specifics, the important thing is the gist.
Okay.
So you could fully replace all of the words in, say, a story, and people would still be able to get it if you intonated it right, and the sounds were similar.
I like the sound of where this is going. Do you have an example for us?
I have a lot. He wrote some books of fairy tales. Would you like to hear Guilty Looks into Tree Bears?
Yes, please. Hit us.
This is going to sound like... I've hit my head really hard, but it's going to be fine. Once upon term, dear worsted ladle gull, ho hat such putty yowler coils, get pimple colder, guilty looks. Guilty looks left in a ladle cordage, saturated at a shirt dissident, firmer bag florist. Any ladle gull orphan after murder, to let a gore entity florist oil by a shell.
Just checking in. You're good there, Amelia. Your cup high. Everything's going fine.
it's quite disconcerting, isn't it?
But it is, though. But it's weird because I fully knew what you were saying. You know, little girl with golden curls lives in a cottage. That was exactly what I was hearing, even though you were just saying like curdly, coily, weird words there.
Yeah, so it's this very weird thing, and people get very into it. There are, like, videos on how you can kind of, like, learn it, because there's, like, whole dictionaries of it.
Wow, okay.
If you'd like to read some anguish language fairy tales, he's pretty much done all the big names.
Does it kind of sit in the same sort of vein as like pigeon languages that you used to learn when you were a kid, where you'd like kind of make up codes with your friends and be able to work it out by flipping the word around and stuff? Is it the same kind of thing as that, where you just, it's sort of invented, but it's kind of a game and people do it for fun? Is there any other reason that people would do Anguish Languish?
I mean, that's pretty much how it ended up. I mean, originally it's to prove this point about how we process words. And so, I mean, it really does tell you a lot about, like, which parts of language are actually important for understanding.
Yeah, totally. You don't really need the actual word, that you just need the gist.
Yeah, you know, you hear, "Center alley, worst jester, poor ladle gull, ho lift wither, stop murder, and toe heft systems."
Cinderella was just a poor little girl with, and I did get lost in the second part there.
A stepmother and two half-sisters.
There we go. I followed fairly well, I think. Are you managing to keep up, Tess? It is kind of like,
yeah, somewhat,
scrambling my brain a bit.
Somewhat. I'm not, like, I was never big, hugely familiar with even Humpty Dumpty, the rhyme. So
you're just sort of like,
I feel like I'm a bit behind. I'm already, like, I'm another step behind.
Don't know what the base story is. I think that would make it harder, actually.
Yeah, I think that definitely, I mean, part of the idea is that you, like, part of the demonstration is that you already kind of know what to expect.
Like, Amelia, somebody said it all sounds a bit like the policeman in LOLO.
Yes. I love when people do LOLO references. It doesn't come up nearly enough.
Not enough of that in the day-to-day.
Big up the French resistance. Okay, so I have one more similar kind of thing to mention.
Okay.
Because otherwise I'm never going to get to talk about it, because it's very much tied in with this stuff.
Cool.
So this is a thing called phono-semantic matching.
Phono-semantic matching. Okay.
So what do you
reckon? Something about sounds being, I don't know, the same as meanings. I'm not sure.
Pretty much. It's about matching the sound of a word to the meaning of a word.
Okay.
And it happens.
Good guess, Rach.
Thanks. I'm quite pleased with that.
Yeah. You totally nailed it. So it happens a lot when words come into languages from outside, from a different language, and basically the language that it comes into will alter the sound so that it sounds kind of like the original word, but kind of like it would actually mean something in its new language. So, for example, there's a French word, chartreuse, which is like a name for a Carthusian monastery,
nice,
which comes into English as charterhouse. Chartreuse becomes charterhouse. And so charterhouse sounds like more or less what it is.
Yeah. But
it's not like a very one-to-one meaning, but it sounds more like what it is for an English speaker than chartreuse does.
Yeah. So hang on, how does that happen? Is that because the English words have come from the French, or is it a magical coincidence?
Well, it basically just happens over time with people kind of adapting the words so that they are more like meaningful to them. So like another example is a muskrat, which is like a North American little rodent-y animal thing. I'm sure there's a better, yeah, it is a rodent. Oh, they're quite fluffy. But basically, muskrat comes from like an indigenous American word. There's a big argument about which indigenous American language it comes from. But the word is originally musquash.
Muskrash.
And so, as people in English are saying that, they're kind of like altering the phonetics of the word so that it kind of, it's more meaningful, so it becomes muskrat, because it's like a rodent. And so
it does rely a little bit on coincidence as well.
Yeah, pretty much. It's very, yeah, you can't change the word so much as to like just be a new word.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's altering it so that you end up getting a bit of meaning.
Well,
and
we've had,
kind of, oh, yeah?
I was just going to say, we've had a text in from someone who said it's a bit like the made-up language NADSAT, a mix of Russian and English in A Clockwork Orange. Is that sort of in the same vein?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of different. I think we should talk about, I should do an episode about conlang eventually.
That would be cool.
Because, yeah.
Would Simglish go in that, the language they speak in The Sims?
Simglish is kind of, Simglish is different again.
Do a whole special on Simglish.
there's a whole, like, wise taxonomy of made-up languages that is really interesting.
Maybe we could do a special on that. But remind us of the names of what we've just been talking about today, because I've already forgotten what they're called.
Okay, so first we talked about homophonic translation.
Homophonic translation, got it.
Yeah. And then we talked about anguish language.
And so that's all the fairy stories, and you can look them up online, I'm sure.
Yes, yes, they're very easy to find. If you search anguish language, they all come up. And you can read, you know, oil murder harbored. You can read pitter paper. You can read sinker sucker socks pants.
Ah, yes.
And finally, we've been talking about phono-semantic matching. And there's all kinds of... I think the non-English examples of this are much more interesting than the English ones.
Right.
English is want to just take words wholesale without altering them, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I've enjoyed that a lot. Thank you very much, Amelia Discreet. We'll talk to you again. Talk to you again next week.
Yes.
Take care, ka kite.
Bye.
Vinaigrette originally referred to small vinegar.
Word salad with Amelia Discreet on 95 BFM.